to worship him. I've come to give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. People go to church for various reasons. They might want to go see their friends. They might want to meet somebody special. They might, who knows, looking for a handout. I tell you what, I've come to worship Jesus. I've come to lift up him. Amen. And then there are benefits. You get to see your friends. You get to meet people. You get blessings. I tell you what, it's a great place to be here in the house of the Lord. I appreciate our church. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Thank God for his blessings and for Harvest Ministries, for all that God is doing. It is a blessing to be a part of the church. Amen. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord tonight. Good to see everybody here. Good to see our visitors here. Thank you for joining with us. We're going to embark on a little journey tonight, and over the next several weeks, I pray that the Lord will talk to us and speak to us so that we can grow and be all that he's called us to be, and every single one of us can grow. None of us have arrived so that we've learned it all and we know it all and we can't grow anymore. No, we can all grow. We can all be better. We can all do more. There's room for growth. Amen. So we're going to be looking at that subject over the next couple of weeks. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. We're very excited about all of our small groups. And many of them started this week. Some more are starting, I know, one next week. And this is time that we spend together, growing together. And relationships, iron sharpeneth iron. And as we grow, these type of meetings are going to be very important for our church, because you still need one-on-one interaction. You still need a close social group. Some people are very comfortable in a small church, and that's the reason why, because they know everybody and they socialize with that group. But as a church grows, they can lose that connection. And so that's why these small groups are very, very important. Plus, it's a way for you to reach out to people who perhaps might not come to a regular church service, but they'd be willing to come to a social group of some sort, whether it's ladies getting together to go to a tea room, or men playing softball together, or maybe an end-time Bible study, or the other various game nights, or whatever it might be. So it can be an outreach tool. So don't think it's just for our church. No, this is an outreach tool for you to get friends and co-workers and relatives to come with you. And we're going to believe that our church is going to grow in a variety of ways, but that small groups is going to be one of the main blessings. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see this pattern of how he would often seek to find a place alone, a place to pray, to fast, to reflect, to prepare for the intense times of ministry that he would heal the sick and raise the dead and speak to lives and encourage hearts. Jesus Christ was, he patterned this repeatedly throughout his ministry, where there were times he would just say, okay, I've got to get alone, and he would go to the mountaintop. He would go out early in the morning. He would find a place to pray, and he was practicing the art of self-leadership. Self-leadership. He would go to a quiet place and recalibrate, so to speak. Even Jesus invested time regularly to keep his calling clear, his focus, and to avoid distraction and to keep temptation at bay. Even Jesus had times that he had to pray. He had to get away from it all and focus on his purpose and what he was there to do. This is self-leadership. And nobody else can do this work for us. We all have to work at leading ourselves. We have to do it. It's tough work. But if we want to be our best, we must work to be worthy of the calling that God has placed upon our lives. And so we're going to begin a few lessons tonight entitled specifically that, Self-Leadership, 7 Strategies to Be Your Best. How many of you want to be your best? Amen. You want to be the best that you can. You want to do everything that you can for the kingdom of God and for your family and for your life and on your career and whatever it might be. You want to be your best. Well, it starts with leadership, leading ourselves. Leading ourselves. Amen. This church believes in people. This church believes in people. We believe that in us growing and becoming better. We believe that we want everyone who comes here to be our best, to grow, for God to bless us, for us to go to a higher level. And what's our purpose statement, our mission statements? It's love God, grow in faith, serve others, and go change the world. That's our purpose. That's our mission. We want everybody to take that on and to become that, so that we love God, we're growing in faith, we're serving others, and then we go change the world. Amen? We're not here just to receive all the blessings of God, but no, God's called us to change the world and to make a difference. So these are 7 strategies to be your best. Self-leadership. You see, we were made for more. Every single person, we were made for more. Regardless of where we're at in life, we all have a God-given potential to be something more than what we currently are. We all have room to grow. We all have room to be better. No matter how much progress we've made up to this point in our lives, we all have unrealized potential inside of us. Amen. And if we would let Him, God wants to do more in us and through us and with our lives, if we will let Him. Sometimes we think this, of being, well, this is for new Christians. They're coming into the church and learning to be everything they can for the Lord, learning to be spiritually mature. But I want to tell you, this is for every single person. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, every Christian has the potential to grow, to be more like Jesus Christ, and to be more effective in the kingdom of God. And so you think of our discipleship ministry. We have different levels of discipleship classes, and we have another group that's going to be going through Next Steps here next month. And when someone goes through a series of discipleship classes, we give them a certificate of completion. You've completed the coursework. You've completed the study. You've graduated, so to speak. But spiritual growth is not something that we do for a short time period, and then there's a graduation ceremony, and we're done. I tell you, we'll be growing. We should be growing in Christ our entire life. Our entire life. And I believe, into eternity, we're still going to be growing in Christ. It's a great tragedy that so many Christians today ignore the need and their opportunity to be transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost, to be more than what they currently are, to keep growing in the faith. Amen. I want to tell you, God has called us not to be stagnant, not to stay the same way, not to be just the status quo, but God's called us to grow. Praise the Lord. What does spiritual growth mean? Does it mean that we pray more, attend church more, give more, read our Bible more, serve others more? Those things can certainly result from spiritual growth, but these things alone don't make us a better person. In order to be our best, we need help. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need help. You need help. I need help. If we're going to be our best, it's going to take the power of God's love working inside each of us in order for us to become the best in life. Spiritual growth is not something that we can do all by ourselves. We need the work of God in our lives because only He can reshape us and refine us and only He can forgive us and set us free and only He can cleanse our hearts and our minds. Only He can open the doors of the future that He's designed for us. If we want to grow spiritually to be led into becoming the best person that we can be, we can't do it just through willpower and strength alone. We've got to have help. We've got to have the power of God working in us. It takes a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, and we grow by our connection to Him. If you're not connected to Him, you're not going to be able to grow spiritually. But we've got to get connected to Him. Jesus said in John 15 and 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine," he says, "ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Praise the Lord. Does anybody just realize, and you're not afraid to admit, I can't do anything without the Lord. I can't make it through the day without Jesus Christ. I can't do this all by myself. I can't be the man God's called me to be, the woman God's called you to be. I can't be the Christian that I'm supposed to be without the power of God working in me. I've got to abide in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is anybody ready to be more? You're ready to reach to that next level, to be the best you possibly can, to grow spiritually. Amen, amen. So over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to look at 7 spiritual principles that are going to open our eyes to some things in our lives, and hopefully it'll show us some areas that we're weak in, some things that God wants to do to work in us, some principles that maybe we're overlooking in our life with the Lord, and He's going to talk to us. So we want to have a relationship that's vibrant, that's strong with the Lord. And when we're finished with these 7 principles, I believe we're going to have a clear picture of what our life could be, and hopefully some practical steps to going to that next level that God's calling us to. So I'm talking to leaders here today. I'm talking to leaders. You might look around and say, well, who's the leaders? I don't think I'm a leader. No, you're a leader. You're a leader. You're leading somebody. Amen. I'm thankful for a great group of leaders here at Harvest, talented leaders. And many of you are involved in different areas of ministry as we do our best to lead this city to Jesus Christ. But here's the danger in leadership. Sometimes it's possible to get so wrapped up in leadership, in the work of leadership, in the work of the church, in the work of ministry, in helping others to grow to their full potential, that we neglect our own growth. Sometimes it's so easy to get so busy about the work of the kingdom and the work of life that we neglect our own spiritual growth. We're trying to teach Bible studies. We're trying to help encourage people. We're trying to do everything we can to be a blessing to the church and all of that. But we neglect our own spiritual growth. And, you know, there's a lot of teaching on how to lead others, how to develop influence, how to gain respect and how to gain a following and all of that. But first, if we want to really be a leader, we got to learn to lead this person right here. And here's the truth right now. This is the hardest person that we have to lead. This is the one we really have to work on. We really have to pray. We really have to study. We really have to work hard because this person right here, oh, this one's a tough one. If Jesus Christ had to find times alone to pray and to fast and to reflect, and to invest regularly in self-leadership, then how much more do we need to do the same? Amen. Self-leadership is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. There may be some seasons, and we think we're making great progress. Man, I really got this down. Just wait. There'll be another season that comes along. It just seems like we're losing ground, and we feel like total failures. But if we can focus on five basic things during this lifelong journey, we'll be a much greater leader and learn to lead ourselves. And so I want to talk about these five things for just a minute. These five things are purpose, hope, encouragement, a positive attitude, and determination. Purpose, hope, encouragement, a positive attitude, and determination. Many people don't ever reach their potential because they don't have purpose. They don't have purpose. They're just going on through life, just going with the flow, and they don't have a purpose. They haven't discovered their calling, their purpose, the plan that God has for their life. And this is not just for pastors, okay? This is not just for people in full-time ministry. This applies to every single person. We all have a role in God's kingdom. We all have a purpose. We all have a calling. Amen. For too long, I believe some churches have taught that, well, it's just the ministry, it's just the pastor, it's just the assistant pastor, it's just those involved in full-time ministry, and everybody else, they're just coming to give their tithes. And no, I want to tell you, every single one of us have a calling, and the anointing of God is upon us. Amen. We are not here just to sit on a pew and just take up space and breathe oxygen. No, we are called to do the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. And this church believes that. This church practices that. Amen. I'm thankful to pastor such a great, wonderful, excellent group of people. And I'm thankful to see that we believe in growth spiritually. We believe that if a saint of God is in Walmart, and somebody asked, well, hey, can your church pray for me because I have such and such disease? We believe that, hey, the pastor may not be there, but you can take them by the hand and you can pray the prayer of faith and God could heal them right there in the middle of Walmart. Amen? We all have a role in God's kingdom. We have a purpose and we need to seek that purpose through prayer. If we're not praying daily, we're not truly walking with God. If we're not praying daily, can we just be honest? We are truly not walking with God. How can we expect to have direction and help and strength from the Lord if we don't ever talk to Him? You have to have a relationship. You have to have conversation. Amen. Pray that God would reveal His will to you. Seek to understand how your personality and your spiritual gifts fit into the role that God has for you in His kingdom. And sometimes this takes time, but be patient and wait on the Lord. As you begin to discover that purpose, write it down. Write it down somewhere as God speaks to you and pray about it and counsel with others, spiritual others about it. And allow the Holy Ghost to guide you and to develop you. And be open for instruction. Be open for correction, for guidance that will help you grow into that purpose. We're going to talk more about purpose in a few moments, but this is the first of five things that we need to have on this journey to become the best that we can be. We need to have purpose. Secondly, hope. Hope. We need hope every day. Every day we need hope. It's a long journey. This is a long journey. It's not over in just a day. It's not over in just a week. It's not over in just a month. And I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but we're on a journey, folks. And if any of you have been parents with young kids, you've heard that. Are we there yet? You go down the road another 5 minutes. Are we there yet? Are we there? We're not there yet. The Lord's coming back, amen? It's going to be soon, but we're still not there. We're still on a journey, folks, amen? We need hope to make it through because there's going to be setbacks. There will be tough times. There will be situations that happen. There's going to be difficult tests that we have to endure. Sometimes it's going to seem like we're not making progress. We're just going backwards. But we need a daily provision of hope if we're going to get through. Marshal Ferdinand Foch was a hero in the Battle of Verdun in World War I. This great general is reported to have said, "There are no hopeless situations, only men who have grown hopeless about them." There are no hopeless situations, only men who have grown hopeless about them. We need to find hope, and we need to hold to it with everything we have. And I want to tell you where the source of hope comes from. The source of hope comes from knowing God's Word. Knowing what the Word of God says, what it proclaims, and knowing that ultimately Jesus Christ is victorious. And if we'll be faithful, we're going to be victorious with Him in the end. Come on, we may go through some battles, we may have some struggles, but if we'll stay faithful with the Lord, we're going to make it in the end. Come on, if we can remind ourselves of this, then no matter how bleak the situation might look, we know we have hope through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I don't care what situation you find yourself in. If you can know the Word of God, you know that in the end, Jesus Christ is victorious. He's coming back for a church and that has made themselves ready. We've got to just stay in the church. We've got to be faithful. We've got to keep living by His Word. We got to keep living by faith, and we have hope that we are going to make it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we want to keep hope strong, we have to overcome fear. We have to resist negative thinking, to choose faith instead of doubt, to choose hope. Amen. Our situation is never hopeless. Not with God, it's not. Sometimes our perspective on the situation looks hopeless. You need to see it from God's perspective. We've got to have hope. Speak hope. Speak hope. Spread hope to others. There's a shortage of hope around. Spread hope to everybody you meet. Rise above the negative. Resist despair. Focus on hope. Thirdly, if we're going to reach our full potential, we need encouragement. Encouragement. He was one of the most hopeful and purposeful leaders in the Bible. Everybody knows about all that David did. But David was human. He was human. And he was subject to discouragement. Even David suffered from grief, from heartache, from disappointment. There was one time he and his men returned home from fighting, and here they find the village where they'd been staying was destroyed, and all their families were taken captive. It was a desperate time. The Bible says that they lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more power to weep. 1 Samuel 30 and 6 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." A lot of times we think of encouragement as something that we give as a gift to others, or something that someone gives to us. But it's also, encouragement is something we have to, sometimes you just got to practice it for yourself. Sometimes there's not an encouraging word that comes from anybody else. Sometimes you look at your situation and it's not encouraging, but you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. You learn to worship God in spite of the circumstances. You learn to stand by faith when it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you just got to get all by yourself somewhere and start worshiping the Lord for the outcome that's coming by faith. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the victory that's coming. I thank you, Lord, for this trial because I know you're going to work a miracle. God, I've got to encourage myself in you. I'm not getting encouragement from anybody else, but I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. The next time you start to feel depressed and discouraged and like you can't make it, I challenge you. You get alone with yourself somewhere in a room and you just start worshiping God. God, you are so great. You are so wonderful. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory. There's nobody like you, Jesus. And you'll start to feel something pick you up. It's encouragement in the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you may just want to dance all by yourself. You're not dancing for anybody. You're dancing for the Lord. Amen. And you feel that strength and that encouragement that comes. Praise the Lord. Encouragement. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit." Amen. We enter into the Holy of Holies and we learn to worship God there. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you're not praying in the flesh, but the Spirit is praying through you. Amen. You may not know exactly what you're praying for. Sometimes you can kind of feel the direction, but you're praying in tongues. You're praying in the Holy Ghost, and you can feel the anointing and the power of God flow through you to pray for a situation. And God knows what the need is. God knows what the answer is, and He's using you to be the connection between heaven and earth to pray the prayer of faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got to learn to wait on the Lord. Choose patience over anxiety. Patience over anxiety. That's not fun to choose patience all the time. We all have this fight or flight syndrome, or and when we're faced with something that's stressful, our body either wants to fight or it wants to flee, and your adrenaline gets going, and it's hard. It's a hard thing to say, no, I'm just going to be patient. I'm going to trust the Lord in this. Sometimes we have to restrain ourselves and say, no, you are going to wait on the Lord. God will speak. He will work. He will move. It'll be in His time, but you just wait on the Lord. We have to learn to relax sometimes and enjoy the journey. To trust that God has a plan for our life. Wait on the Lord. And at times we need to give encouragement to others. How powerful to worship and to pray with others and to lift them up in the Lord. We're part of the body of Christ. That's what this is. It's a body with many members. And when we go to church, it should be both to minister to others and to get ministered to. Don't just come here thinking, well, I'm here just now I've arrived, minister unto me. No, we're here to minister to others as well. Speak words of hope and support to others. And don't surround yourselves just with voices of negativity and doubt, but learn to surround yourselves with positive voices of faith. Amen. We need encouragement. Purpose, hope, encouragement. All of these things, if we're gonna reach our full potential. The fourth is a positive attitude. How true is Proverbs 23 and 7? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. As we think in our hearts, the thoughts that we choose to allow to dwell in our mind, it's a choice. It's your mind. It's your thoughts. You have control over what you choose to allow your mind to think about. Sometimes there's thoughts that come that it's not thoughts we want to think. Sometimes it's hard to block those things out. Sometimes you've got to read the Word, and you've got to pray, and you've got to press through until you get those things, and you got to take captivity over every thought that exalteth itself against the Lord and against godly things. But choose what you allow to dwell in your mind, because whatever we think, that's going to shape us positively or negatively. Come on, remember, we're on a journey. We'd like it to be a short trip and get there real fast, but it's a long journey, and we can't allow the weight of a negative attitude to burden us down. We've got to have a positive outlook based on the truth of God's Word. Learn to eliminate negative speech. Our words are probably the single greatest influence over our attitude. The words that we speak, words that we speak to ourselves. You make a mistake, do you criticize yourself? McCoy, I don't know what you're doing. Or, well, I learned something from that. It's all in the outlook of what you say. Paul said in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Another translation says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Amen. All you parents of teenagers say, amen. What we say has a big impact on our outlook, on our attitude, on the attitudes of others around us. Complaining, it sucks the joy of life right out of us. Have you ever been around somebody who just sucks the joy right out of you? It's not fun to be around those kind of people. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. But purpose in your heart, I'm going to have a positive attitude. I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm not going to dwell on mistakes and disappointments of yesterday. I can't change those things. All I can do is grow into the future. And I've got to rise above my past, and I've got to keep moving forward. My failure is not final, but I'm going to learn from that mistake, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to grow. Amen. Keep a positive attitude. The fifth thing that we must have every day if we're going to reach our full potential, and that is determination. Determination is key to our spiritual growth. The devil has a way of hitting us at the most vulnerable point in our life. You know, he's patient. He'll wait. He'll wait until he sees us discouraged, until he sees us down, and that's when he'll attack. But determination, it helps us persevere. It helps us to have courage to overcome the devil's schemes. You got to be determined. You got to get determined about living for God. You got to get determined about the kingdom of God. Man, determination keeps taking one step at a time. Determination pushes through obstacles and keeps going even when things are tough. We may not be able to figure it all out, but just make it through one day at a time. Determination says, I'm going to get up. I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to trust Him today. I may not know what tomorrow brings, but I'm determined. I'm going to make it through today. Praise the Lord. How many people give up right before the breakthrough? They give up right before the victory. Amen. The difference in those who make it and those who don't, the ones who make it, they just keep on getting back up. They just keep on taking a step ahead at a time. They keep going when it gets tough. They refuse to quit. They refuse to let anything keep them from the plan that God has for them. Be determined. Hallelujah. So on this journey, leading ourselves to become the best that we can be, we need purpose, and hope, encouragement, a positive attitude, and determination. And God's going to help us. He's going to help us. Amen. We're going to become something more for Him. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at seven strategies over the next few weeks to become the best we can be. Here's our first strategy. Strategy one is discover your purpose. Discover your purpose. This is the thought for tonight, and we've already talked some about this. Discover your purpose. Growth is on purpose. Growth is intentional. It's so beautiful to see how God's calling our church to grow in many ways. Thank God numerically, but also spiritually. And specifically, God's calling each and every one of us to grow individually. That's an exciting place to be. Aren't you thankful for a church where God's calling us to grow, to be more? Amen. But if we're going to reach our full potential, it takes more than just desire. It's going to be more than just having encouragement from others. We're going to need more than even God's blessings. Growth doesn't happen by chance or by luck. Growth is intentional. We must intentionally pursue becoming a better Christian, a better soul winner, a better whatever it is in the kingdom of God. We've got to make room for growth in our life. We have to seek after it on purpose. Think with me about a few things, a few truths about growth. First of all, growth takes time, but time doesn't produce growth. Growth takes time, but time doesn't produce growth. A lot of people fall into that trap of saying, well, it just takes time to grow. And that becomes their excuse for not growing. If we're going to lead the most difficult person that there is to lead, ourselves, we can't just assume that, well, given the passage of time, we're going to automatically grow. That's not the truth. Now, a healthy 2-year-old will be larger than a newborn, generally. A healthy 2-year-old, they'll grow larger than a newborn baby. But age alone doesn't make someone mature. You got to have wisdom and life skills, and all of that simply doesn't come to someone just because they turn 18 years old. In fact, it seems like it's happening later and later in life now. Praise the Lord. I thought I knew so much at 18. I really did. About 25, I realized, well, I may not know quite so much. And 30, oh man, around 30, I started really appreciating my parents. And now I'm a little older than that. And I'm going to tell you, I just realized I don't know anything. I just, you know, we're just starting out. A child has to be taught. They have to be disciplined. They have to be trained in order to become an adult. And spiritually, come on, just because somebody's been in church for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years doesn't mean they have spiritually grown. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that saint of God. Amen. Oh, come on, God, help us to grow. Help us to grow. Amen. You put somebody brand new in the church, but if they have a heart for growth, if they have a desire, and they're on the altars, and they have a prayer life with the Lord, and they're reading the Bible, I want to tell you, they're on a path to growth, and they may just pass some of those up that have been around for 20 or 30 years that don't even want to grow, don't have a desire for it. Too many people don't realize their full potential because their desire to grow is nothing more than a wish. They might see the need to grow. They might even desire it somewhat. But if they're unwilling to put forth the effort, it's never going to happen. Don't make the mistake of thinking that time alone brings spiritual maturity. Growth takes time, but time doesn't automatically produce growth. Another truth about growth. Change is usually driven by one of two forces. Pain or passion. Sometimes things happen in life and they are so painful that we realize change has to happen. You might be so stressed about your work lately that it's keeping you up at night, and you get to the place you realize something's got to change. I got to get a different job. Maybe difficulty in your marriage or family is driving change. When people feel the pain of being crushed by a burden of debt, that often leads them to the point of change. They've got to change something. Pain is a powerful motivator. And when the pain of remaining the same becomes too great, that's when people seek change. But I want to tell you tonight, passion is a much stronger motivator. Passion is much greater. Motivation from passion usually lasts longer. Think with me about Joseph. As a boy, he had a series of dreams in which God revealed some about his future to him. And he didn't fully understand the dreams at the time, but it was clear that somehow he was going to be in a position of authority over his other brothers who were older than him. And when he made the mistake of telling his brothers about his dream, they got jealous and eventually they sold him into slavery, and of course he was sent down to Egypt. But God had given him a dream. And each step of the way, Joseph remained true to God's vision for his life, and those dreams came true. I hope that we all have a vision for our life, something that we hope to be by God's grace. We don't get so self-assured and think that, well, we've arrived and now we've had this dream and so now I'm just somebody. No, we have the hope that somehow God's going to have grace and he's going to help us to grow into that dream. Amen. I pray we all have something that God has revealed to us about our potential, that in prayer or maybe a special service, God revealed just a little bit of something. We said, God, if you would help me, I would love to be that one day. Maybe it's discipling souls. Maybe it's preaching the word. Maybe it's teaching children or helping others. And I want to tell you, God has a purpose in mind for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. If we haven't discovered our purpose yet, then we need to seek God in prayer and ask God to reveal himself. And when he does, I believe there'll be a passion that's birthed within us that will point us forward to our full potential. We need to find God's purpose. We need to seek it with our whole heart. We need to pursue it with passion. Another truth about growth: we can't move forward until we face the truth about where we are. We can't move forward until we face the truth about where we are. If you're going to ask Siri how to get to Steak and Shake, Siri's got to know first where you're at right now. If we're going to make progress and grow, we've got to be honest with ourselves about who we are and where we are. Sometimes it's painful, but we need a heavy dose of reality, not to discourage us, but to help us confront the brutal facts about what it's going to take for us to move forward. If there's sin hidden in our life somewhere, then we're going to struggle to grow. If we have hidden sin, we need to take care of that. We got to be honest with ourselves. If there's things we've been hiding from others or maybe even hiding from ourselves, we need to confess those things to God. Why are you carrying that around? Come on, that is burdening you down. That is keeping you from the joy that God has for you. It's keeping from the purpose that God has prepared for you. And every single day you're feeling guilt and shame when Jesus Christ has already paid the price to set you free. Confess it to the Lord and be done with it and move forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David said in Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Come on, this is an important step to growth. Sometimes we got to sit down and we got to be real with ourselves. What's the state of our marriage and our family and our education and our career? What's the state of our finances? What's the state of our health? What do we need to do to grow? Where are we at right now? What's the obstacles that we're facing? Are we holding on to unforgiveness? Is our heart right with the Lord? How's our relationships with others? We can't reach our full potential if we don't know where we're currently at. It's a tough wake-up call at times. It may seem like it's too great to overcome, but it may be if we're alone, but we're not alone in this, okay? Praise the Lord. And if God's calling us, then He's going to give us the strength that we need. Don't lose hope, but focus on the calling of God and know He's going to make a way. Praise the Lord. Growth is intentional. Progress in life is usually not made by accident. Amen. Growth takes time, but time alone doesn't produce the results we need. Amen. Too many Christians have never discovered their purpose. They're born again. They go to church. They try to live holy lives. Maybe they're even involved in ministry and in some way in the church. But there's no passion because they haven't discovered that purpose and that direction from God. And they don't know that God really does have a specific plan for their lives. Come on, we need to pray until there's a discovery. We need to seek the will of God until there's an answer. Pray until there's a passion birthed within us so that we can really live life more abundantly. Come on, I want to live life more abundantly. I don't want to just go through life and just make it through somehow, but God, give us life more abundantly to where there's a passion burning within us. Amen. I want to tell you, it's a good life living for the Lord. It's a good life living for the Lord. Hallelujah. You may not have everything you want to have, but when you're living for Jesus Christ, you can have everything you need. And He gives you strength, and He gives you joy, and He gives you help. It's a good life living for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you're not having fun living for the Lord, I want to tell you, you're doing something wrong. There's something missing. There's something that you got to get right. You need to go to an altar and say, Lord, what is it that's missing? There's something that I've got to catch this, Lord. There's sin in my life, or there's a wrong attitude, or there's a wrong purpose or something. Because if you're not having fun for the Lord, you're missing out on the purpose that God has for us. Life and life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. I believe if we will listen, that God will speak to us and we will discover our purpose. Amen. How do we listen? First of all, we need to listen to God in prayer. Yes, listen in prayer. Prayer is supposed to be a two-way conversation. If we think of prayer as something as it's what we do when we set aside a little time on our schedule and we go through the get list and we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, and we ask God to forgive us of our sins, and then, okay, Lord, here's my list of needs, and, well, God, it's been nice catching up. I'll see you next time. If that's what we think prayer is, we're missing it. That's not a conversation. That's us running through the motions of prayer. That's us giving Him our want list. But prayer is a process where we draw close to Him. And yes, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we come before the altar of repentance and we let Him search our heart for any sin or attitude or thing that's wrong in our life. And we release unforgiveness that we're holding towards others. And we do present our needs to Him. But during that time of prayer, God wants to talk with us. God wants to speak to our lives. Amen. He would walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. And He wants us to have that type of relationship with Him. How do we listen to the voice of God in prayer? Sometimes if we don't pray just a little bit and have an earthquake or a booming voice from heaven, we think, well, God's not speaking, and we go do something else. Remember Elijah? The Lord spoke to him. He said, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Don't look for Him in the strong wind. Don't look for Him in the earthquake. Don't look for Him in the fire. But listen for that still, small voice. You probably won't hear it with your ears, but you'll hear it with your heart. Hallelujah. And we, And we've made our hearts right with Him, and we've come before Him in worship and thanksgiving. And when we pray and ask His will and for Him to speak His purpose to our lives, and in that quiet place where we make room for God's voice in our life, I tell you, He will speak to your heart. He will lead you. He will direct you. It may be just it's a real soft impression upon our heart. But if we'll make a room for God to speak, He'll talk to us. What a beautiful, beautiful experience, hearing the voice of God, receiving direction from Him. Maybe it's correction at times in some area that we need to change and we need to work on. And if we want to discover God's purpose for us, the first way we need to listen is through prayer. Not just once in a while, not just at church services, but we need to make regular time for conversations with the Lord. Secondly, we need to listen to God's Word. No, we'd love to have that audible voice booming down from the heavens to tell us in no uncertain terms what exactly we were to do. But do we not realize that His Word is His voice? Come on, the Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Another translation says, for the Word of God is alive and active. That's the truth. It's living. It's powerful. It will speak to us. Spend time in prayer. Tune in to God's presence. And then when we've quieted all the noise around us, if you'll get in the Word of God and you'll start reading the Word of God, just wait, because it'll come alive and it'll speak directly to your heart. And you'll read a verse that you've read hundreds of times before, but all of a sudden it'll jump off that page and you'll realize, God, that's Your Word speaking directly to my life. Man, if we want to know God's purpose, we've got to listen. Listen through prayer. Listen through His Word. And then sometimes God will speak to us in other ways. We're all uniquely created. We're all different. We all have personalities and experiences that set us apart. And God had a plan for that. He orchestrated your genes and your personality and talents and abilities so that you are the person He made you to be. God knew before you were born if you were going to like olives or not. He knew I wasn't. Or broccoli or whatever it might be. He knew if you were going to be shy or outgoing. He knew if you were going to be a night owl or a morning person. Sometimes we need to listen to ourselves, to some things that God's placed inside of us. Listen to your gifts. Think about this. If you break out in hives every time you come near a math problem, then numbers is probably not what God has called you to do. Okay? On the other hand, if you can sing and you can write and draw, then it could be that those gifts are road signs to where God is directing you in the kingdom. Are you a great listener? Can you motivate people with your words? Are you skilled at building things? Make a list of those things and activities that you enjoy and ask yourself, what is the one thing that I do better than others? It could be that God is calling you to something in that area. Those gifts are like little seeds. They've been planted in our lives, but we have to let them grow. We have to develop those things. We have to hone our skills. We have to use them. And as those seeds grow, we'll get a clearer picture of our gifts and abilities, and we'll start to understand more about God's purpose. Listen to your passions. What makes you angry? What makes you joyful? Excited? If you hear of children with special needs, does that tug at your heart? If you hear beautiful words in a poem or in a song, and it just fills your heart with emotion, or if you hear about somebody's heartbreak and it grieves you, those are some clues. Ask God to show you these things that move you and make a list. Sometimes you need to listen to your dissatisfaction. Since dissatisfaction is not always a bad thing, sometimes it can speak pretty loudly to our life. Amen. If you're miserable in your current career or your job, pay attention to that. Pray and ask God, Lord, for some reason I'm dissatisfied. Maybe you're trying to make a move in my life. God created us in such a marvelous fashion, and we have incredible giftings and talents. And not me, you say, oh, yes, you. Every single person has giftings and talents. Ask God to reveal them to your life. Amen. And sometimes we need to listen to others. Listen to what people notice about you. That may point out some gifts that you might not even realize you have. Sometimes you don't need to listen to certain people. Because they're negative, they complain, they grumble, all of that. You don't need all that in your life. But listen to spiritual people. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got to discover our purpose. If you watch a fish swimming in the water, it's a beautiful sight. They move through the water so effortlessly. It's like a liquid ballet in motion. They're fluid, they're graceful, they're alive, they're in their element. But if you catch a fish and lay it out on the grass, it's another story. It'll lay there and gasp for air. Or it'll flop around desperately trying to get back in the water. And you can even wait and give it time to adjust to the land, and it doesn't work, it just gets worse. And not long and they'll die. Because they can't be everything they were designed to be when they're out of the water. But if you take that fish and put it back in the water before it's too late and give it a few seconds, it'll swim away effortlessly again. No matter how long that fish lays there on the land, it will never adjust to the grass. It will never be satisfied, and eventually it'll die. Sometimes we're like that fish out of water because we've never discovered God's purpose in our lives. And it doesn't matter how much time you take, and it doesn't matter how much you try to just make yourself get used to it. If you've not discovered God's purpose for you, then you're out of your comfort zone. You're not in your element. We're dying on the inside because there was something that God placed inside of us that is unrealized. Some people, God deals with them about His purpose, but for whatever reason, they've not accepted it. Those people are just as miserable. This church wants to help connect people with that God-given purpose in their lives so that we can all learn to be in our element with our strengths and our abilities and talents. And when that happens, it's a beautiful thing. In closing today, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole were hearing, how would you smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. where one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We all have a place. We all have a purpose. We all have a gifting. We all have a calling. And we're going to be miserable if we're not accomplishing that in our lives. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, I want to discover my place in the kingdom. I want to discover my purpose so that I can live with passion, so that I can live life more abundantly. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we're trying to lead ourselves to do more and to be more and to be our best. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and direct us, God. Oh, God. Lord, I pray that you would encourage somebody here tonight, Lord. They don't think they have a place. They don't think they have a purpose. They don't think they have ability. But God, I pray that you'd reveal something to them that they can be passionate about in your kingdom and how they can make a difference in their world. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts here that, God, they know the calling that is upon them. They know the burden that you've placed upon them, but for whatever reason, maybe they're fearful or maybe they're embarrassed or, God, maybe they're burdened by guilt and shame, and so they have not received that calling and they've run from it. I pray, God, that you would give us the grace and give us the strength, Lord, to accept what you have called us to do. To realize if you are calling us, then you are going to give us the help we need to grow into that person that you have designed for us to be. Lord, let this church be a place that connects people with the calling that you have for their life. Let this be a church where people can come and find fulfillment and satisfaction, Lord, to be something great in your kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring every part of the body, Lord, everything that's needed to this church. I pray that you would bring everything, Lord, that's necessary to your kingdom, Lord, every part, every purpose, every member of the body, Lord. I pray that you would bring us together and help us to work in harmony. Help us to work together in one accord, Lord, that you can do a great work in this city and you can accomplish your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How many of you, you'd be praying with me this week, Lord, show me your divine will in my life, your purpose, the calling. I don't care if you're 12 years old or if you're 82 years old. If you're still breathing, the Lord's not done. He's still has something for you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's so good. God's so good. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you.